Daniel chapter 3 is one of those stories that I couldn't tell you how long ago I'd heard it the first time. Probably I was a 2-3 year old, probably, maybe even before that. But this is one of those stories that once you learn, you never forget. We think about the fiery furnace a lot. And this world sometimes appears that way. Talking about the fiery furnace and the fiery trials Peter talks about. And what we see here in this particular passage is some young boys. And if you study it out and go back to Daniel chapter 1, you'll see that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a lot of times we call them by their Babylonian names, even though their Hebrew names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But if I said that, nobody'd know who I was talking about. Because throughout the passage here, they're called by their Babylonian names. But I want you to understand, even though they were called by their Babylonian names, they were not only Hebrews by name and blood, but Hebrew by conviction. And I want you to know, it's interesting to me that these young men had something that a lot of people today don't understand, they don't have, and a lot of people in our world have never seen. And that's somebody that'll stand for what they believe in. And so I look at that, and some of you know that I had an issue at work back when the hurricane was tiptoeing and dancing around on the Bahamas. They called us into work, or were calling people into work, and I told them, I'm going to be at church Sunday. And I told them, don't bother calling me. And if they'd have fired me, guess what? I'd have got another job. But I was standing where God wanted me to stand. I had a friend of mine that had just passed away, Brother Doug's dad. That was on Saturday. And I told him, I'm not going to be here Saturday. I was off on Friday. I was preaching at Landmark's Chapel, College Chapel, on Friday. I said, don't bother me this weekend. And Sunday, you might as well just lose my phone number because I'm not coming.
Amen.
Oh, they gave me 5 days off for that. Guess what? We fought it and we got some of it back. But the truth is, if they'd have fired me, this is where the Lord wanted me. Amen. And what we need to do, and we've got so many spineless preachers and Christians today that a lot of people don't expect when you take a stand for right, they think you're wrong. They don't understand. And so what I want us to get in here is these boys were trained right. Why is it so important for these children to be in church? Because they need to be trained right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I can tell you, if I had not been trained right as a child, I wouldn't be preaching today. It was a lot of things that I had learned that people had put in me when I was a toddler, and some of them put up with the terror of a little boy. And here's somebody, and she knew me from kindergarten, Sharon did. So she was respectful enough not to say amen, but she could have said amen. But the truth is, those people are going to get a reward in heaven for what putting up with me. And sometimes I'm tough on children because they, number one, they know better. Number two, somebody's got to teach them. If they don't know better, somebody's got to teach them how to act and all the things that go along with that. And so I look at these young men, I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and what I see here is somebody took the time to put into them what needed to be there. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to skip around. But you know a little bit about what's going on. The first part of the verse, it talks about the fact that Nebuchadnezzar had made an idol and he commanded everybody to bow. And we're going to go to verse 5. Start at verse 5. And it says, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Now this was the decree to everybody. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. What did they accuse them of? Not bowing down. Look at what it says. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. O thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And I want the key to this verse, this is a challenge that Nebuchadnezzar makes. The key to this verse says, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for being so good to us. And Lord, what an amazing, amazing event that takes place here. Lord, some people might think it's a story, but Lord, it's a true story. And every word in here is absolutely true. It's absolutely perfect. And Lord, we know that these young men refused to bow. And so Lord, we ask you to do something special in our midst. We need a touch from heaven. Lord, this preacher is so, so capable of messing up everything you're trying to do. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need your Holy Spirit to be in control. Let us hear clearly the message that you have for your people today. And Lord, keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I've got 5 points here. The first point is the bowing required. Nebuchadnezzar set up a king, set up the idol, and it was made of gold. And if you go to chapter 2, which we're not going to spend time there, but he had a dream, and it was mentioned that Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. Now, I'm not going to go into the image because it's a long process and it deals with the times of the Gentiles, and that's another subject for another time. But I want you to understand, he saw this image and he decided he was going to build him an image, and it was 90 feet tall, 3 score cubits. A cubit's about 18 inches, 3 score is 60. So if you got a foot and a half, that's 90 feet. And it was about 9 feet wide. I don't know how he got it to balance up, but he had some way of setting it. Some think he actually had it up against the a canyon wall. But however he had it, he required everybody to bow when they heard the music. I want you to know something. I want you to get this. Music has always been a part of Satan's toys, his manipulation, his motive to drawing people towards him. And that's right here in the scripture. What we need to do is, and I preached on this not long ago, but what we, the Pied Piper, if you didn't, weren't here, go to the website and you'll hear the message the Pied Piper had to do with how the devil chooses and draws people away using the music. And what he's doing here is he's requiring everybody, the whole kingdom, I want you to think about this, everybody was required to bow. And everybody bowed except these 3 boys. You know what messed up his party? 3 people. They didn't go along with him. He didn't take solace in the fact that everybody else bowed. He wanted complete obedience from the whole crowd. But what we see here is the fact that, number one, the bowing was required, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed right. That's point number two. They believed right. Why did they believe right? Because somebody taught them. When they were little, like the children, hey, somebody trained them. Because by the time they became teenagers, their families were killed. They were taken into captivity to Babylon, and they were trained in the University of Babylon and trained to worship false gods and trained in the Chaldean language, which was the language for for the Babylonian people. And they were trying to retrain them so much so that they even changed their name. But you know what? They didn't get over their training. You know why I'm a preacher today? Why I've got some convictions? Because of my training. Every once in a while, I'll go through the list of the people that trained me when I was in kindergarten. And I had some good, godly Christian or school teachers, public school teachers. I mention her from time to time, and I think fondly of a lady that named Lillian Franklin. Sharon and I were in her classes, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd grade. And I still remember her witnessing to me, to the class, telling the class that they need Jesus in 3rd grade public school. Showing us a picture of Jesus on the cross, on the easel. I remember that like it was yesterday. And I've got a number of people. I think about a lady named Mary Powers. I think about somebody named Gwen Earp. I think about a man named Bill O'Donnell. I think about people like a man named Pete Tyner. These people had trained me and helped me and taught me and put up with me. I want to tell you something. Don't ever give up on somebody. Amen. I was probably one of the least likely to survive to my 20s because I was so wild. Not evil wild, but I just did stupid things. let alone the least likely to be a preacher. Gary's known me a long time too, Don too. We come from the same neighborhood. But I want you to understand, do not give up on anybody. You keep praying and you keep trying to put in them what you can. God will bless. You know who wants you to give up? The devil. Satan wants you to quit on people. I've heard a number of times that there was a man, his goal was to swim across the English Channel. And so the day came for him to start the swim. And he's swimming and he's swimming and he finally got to the point where he didn't think he could make it. So he turned around and swam back. The problem was he was already two-thirds away across the English Channel when he turned around. The swim back was longer than the swim forward to finish it out. Hey, sometimes we're so close to the finish line, to the victory on the other side, but the devil is a winner because he discourages us. That's what's going on in our country today. So many people are discouraged. Hey, God's still on the throne, ain't he?
Amen.
That was weak. God's still on the throne, ain't he?
Amen.
Amen. That's much better. Amen. We got to run that spirit of discouragement out of here.
That's right.
Because what's going on, hey, I'm still going to heaven.
Amen.
I don't deserve it. You don't either. But we still have a ticket to go when we trust Jesus. But what took place with these boys, they didn't bow. Number one, bowing is required. Number two, they believed right. Number three, bowing refused. They refused to bow. And Nebuchadnezzar's giving them another chance. I like that verse 15. Look at what it says. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, and I'm not going to go through all the things, but he's saying, if you're ready now, we'll try it again. I'm going to give you one more chance. You know what? He's just trying to coax them. He's taking a little time because they have been given some responsibilities in the kingdom of Babylon. And they're set up as examples. I remember I had a little boy one time. I was asking him if he wanted me to coach his baseball team. And I told him, I said, I'm going to leave it up to you, but I want you to know that I'm not going to treat you easier because you're my son. I can't expect the other kids to mind me as a coach if you don't mind me. And I said, knowing that, do you want me to coach? And he said, yes. And I did. And truth is, when you've got a situation like that, you've got to be set an example. He was my son, and so what I told him, I said, I need you to set the example, because if you don't do what I say, I can't expect the rest of the kids to do it. And that's the way Nebuchadnezzar was being with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've got a position of responsibility, and if they're not going to bow, that really upsets him. But look at what it says. I like this. The last part of verse 15. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar didn't realize he was setting a challenge before the Lord. A number of years back, when we had the first Gulf War, a man named Saddam Hussein made a statement, and they were talking about the mother of all wars. This is going to be the mother of all wars. And what he said was, now we'll find out who the real God is, Allah or Jehovah. I remember Dr. Stringer saying, he said he heard him say that, and he said, that man's in trouble. You make a statement like that, you're challenging God, and God's not going to let you get away with it. What's going on here is the fact that Nebuchadnezzar is challenging the true God. He's challenging the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And look what happens. I like their statement. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, verse 16, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They're saying, we're not worried about how we answer this because we've already been practicing it. By the way, they already knew this time was going to come. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I want to tell you something. That's the kind of conviction that built this country. A lot of the men and women and children in those families that built this country and stood and signed the Declaration of Independence, their homes were destroyed. Many of them thrown in prison or killed, and they lost everything so that you and I could have a country where we could be free, where we could worship together according to the Scriptures. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood their ground. And this may well be the time for us to stand our ground. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I don't know what the future holds. But like the song says, I do know who holds the future. I know the one that is in charge. And the one that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can deliver us as well. He's the only one who can. Amen. Look at what the king does here in verse 19. It says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont or known to be heated. And the command went, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosens and their hats and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew the men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to burn up, right? Except for one thing. There's a God in heaven. And what we see here is the fact that something marvelous happens. If they burned up, this wouldn't be anything special in the Bible. But look at what it says. Verse 24. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and arose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt.
And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Now, I want to, if you've got a bad Bible, I'm going to prove it to you. If your Bible doesn't say the form of the fourth is like the Son of God and capitalized, the NIV here says, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Bad Bible. New American Standard, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Bad Bible. RSV, the Revised Standard Version, says, but I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Bad Bible. Now here's the so-called Bible that used to be read from this platform before we got it. Never again, but I'm going to read it right now just to prove to you that it's wrong. This is the New World Translation, Jehovah's Witness so-called Bible. He was answering and said, or saying, look, I am beholding four able-bodied men walking about free in the midst of the fire, and there is no hurt to them, and the appearance of the fourth one is resembling a son of the gods. The problem with that is, look back at verse 15. Nebuchadnezzar says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? It wasn't the son of a son of the gods. It was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus himself.
Amen.
Okay? You say, but Jesus wasn't born yet. Jesus has always existed. Okay? By him, and the Bible says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. He's always been and will always be. Why? Because he's God. He's God the Son, just like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Neither one of them had a beginning. But these bad Bibles try to make it sound like Jesus is just, who showed up, it was just like a son of God. But you say, well, how would Nebuchadnezzar know? God providentially inspired him, showed him that this was the Son of God. Okay? But I like that. Look at what it says. It says, verse 26 says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. I bet he didn't get too close because it burned the men up that threw them in. And spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. There it is again. He knew it wasn't a son of the gods, little g. The Most High God, come forth and come hither. I'm going to stop there. I like this. Woo-hoo! Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not in a hurry to get out of the fire. Why? Because Jesus was there.
Amen.
And they're having a good time fellowshipping with the Son of God. I want to tell you something. No matter what's going on in this crazy world, no matter what you face, you can face it as long as the Son of God is standing there with you.
Amen.
And by the way, there's a point here too. Jesus is the only one that can make you fireproof.
Amen.
If you haven't put your trust in Jesus, you better. Because he's the one that will protect you from the fire. The lake of fire. He's the only one that can. He did for these guys. He will for you. He'll do it for anybody that calls on him. Just make sure that you're not calling on a son of the gods. You want to call on the real, true Son, capital S-O-N, of capital G-O-D, God, the Lord Jesus. Now, where's our lesson in this, preacher? Number one, always trust Jesus. Amen. Number two, the only reason, I want you to get this now, the only reason Jesus showed up for these guys is they took a stand for God. When we take a stand for the Lord, what happens is He wants to show up. He wants to help us. He wants to bail us out of whatever trouble we get into. But guess what? If we don't take a stand for Him, He's saying, no, I can't show up because you're waffling back and forth. These boys, they were willing to die. You know, there are some convictions that I have that I'm willing to die for. I don't want to leave my family. But there's been people put stuff in me and the Holy Spirit inside of me that has convicted me that there are things in this life that are worth dying for. Amen. That Bible's one of them. My Savior's one of them. My family's one of them. This church is one of them. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. There's... the Lord will help us. But we've got to take some stands. This world is just absolutely nutty over jello-spined Christians. We need people that love Jesus enough to take a stand. Say, what about homosexuality, preacher? What's the Bible say? It's an abomination.
Yes, sir.
What's the Bible say about killing babies? What's it say about murder? Hey, by the way, I'll go ahead and say this. We got the elections coming up. I don't care. I don't care what happens to our economy. I don't care what happens to I do care, but not to the point where I'm going to vote for a baby killer.
That's right.
Never have and never will.
Amen.
October, the first Sunday in October, we stand out here on the road with our abortion signs, telling people where we stand on abortion. We're anti-abortion, pro-life. We're going to stand up for these. By the way, I saw something on Facebook this week. It says if they close down the abortion clinics for 2 weeks, they'll save more lives than have died through the coronavirus so far. Sounds like a winner to me.
Amen.
But what about the transgender stuff? They gave me a blue blanket when I was born. I just ain't got over it. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to tell God that He made a mistake. Really? That's what they're saying. There's a mistake in there. Somebody's put some stuff in your head that shouldn't be there, in your heart that shouldn't be there. But guess what? We need to take a stand against this foolishness. There are a lot of people that teach that Allah is another God, another name for God. I got news for you. Allah's the moon god, and Jesus created Him. How's that? All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I know I'm hitting a lot of stuff, but it needs to be said. Our world needs to know that you and I are going to stand on God's book. We're going to stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this world needs you and me to stand.
Come on, preacher.
What happens to these children if somebody in our generation is not willing to stand? The most important thing for you and I, and this is where it comes down. And some people say, well, you ought not to say that, preacher. You know why some people aren't in church?
Now, some of them are sick, don't feel well, they would be here. But some people aren't in church because they just don't love Jesus enough. I'm going to tell it like it is. If you love Jesus, you'll be where he wants you to be. Regardless of the consequences, regardless of the hardships. I love this story. I hadn't preached on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a while. But Lord didn't have to tell me twice to do it. Because they stood where we need to stand. They set an example for us, and they were just kids. And they were willing to go into the fiery furnace. Why? Because they wanted people to know, of all the people in Babylon, only three stood up. There were a lot of Jews there. They took a lot of the Jews captive. But those were the only three that stood. I want you to know, you can make a difference. Even if you're the only one to stand, you can make a difference. Because there'll be people notice. Those servants, they noticed that the Hebrew boys didn't bow. People are going to notice that you and I don't bow too. Most important thing for us as Christians is to stand for Jesus. There's an old saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I like the old song, I'm standing on the solid rock. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. Lord, I thank you for giving us an opportunity to preach about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I thank you, Lord, that there are some lessons there, some blessings there. You want us to just stand. Stand where you tell us to stand. Stand where the world needs us to stand. That's the safest place. Lord, move in a special way in our invitation. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, we ask you to help them to come to Christ. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.